verse, just Matthew, if we will, the first verse in the chorus of Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. Just sing the first verse in the chorus, and the pastor can come to this. God sent His Son.
Whoever beside you and say, God bless you. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Every time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just maybe seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements. Please remember, sister, everybody I'm sure knows her, Sister Lynn and Brother Edward. And I know they might be coming here to the fellowship, but I want us, everyone, to pray for Sister Lynn, that God will really touch her at this time. She's not too well. And I've known for a while, that someone did tell me, but before that, I believe the Lord showed me. And my wife can tell you that's the truth. And I've been praying for her. I want us all to pray for her. Mm-hmm. And that the Lord will just touch her. And even if she doesn't come here, that's not the important bit. You don't have to come here, you have to serve the Lord. And we appreciate other people, even though they're not in this meeting. And we just want the Lord to touch our sister, amen. And then Matthew's not here this morning. Matthew's wife's uncle passed away just the other day. You called him John. I don't know if you remember, but we prayed for a man some years ago. He was an alcoholic and God delivered him. They gave him a week to live, but he survived. That's many years ago. I got talking to him in a house in Black Skull. I was trimming it out, putting skirting around it, and he was there in that house. I got to witness to him and talk to him. And he never went on the drink again, but he never got right with God. But the Lord gave him many more years. That's a long time ago, and God raised him up to health, and they said he wouldn't live a week. But he's just now passed away, but he made no decision that I know of for the Lord, but the Lord gave him a chance. And you know what amazes me many times with the unsaved, how that God will give him another chance and raises him up, and then it's their choice. They have no excuse then. But I want to pray for Sister Lorne and Matthew and all the family for strength and comfort as well for that, praise God, at this time. And I'm sure I forgot someone, but Brother Andrew Beecham's coming 20th of October, brother, in case I forget, 20th of October, it's a Friday till a Monday, whatever that date starts, 20th of October, that weekend. So we're certainly looking forward to Brother Andrew. I've asked him a long time back, would he come? So he's given me the date, that date for when he's coming. So pray for the meetings. And we're continuing here, just whatever the Lord leads. And the Lord bless each one. Just to tell you, we're paying a bit more a month than we were paying. I think everyone needs to know that. It's a bit more, but I'm going to be honest with you, we're paying very little here. Let's be honest about it. If you had somewhere in the town, you wouldn't get away under $1,000 a month if you got it even for that. So a few hundred a week's nothing here, really. It's a big hall and everything, so I just want everyone to know, and the offerings go to paying for the hall and to help out if we have visitors and everything, and then the tithes go to the minister, myself. And you're under no obligation to tithe to me. That's down to every individual, whether you feel led to do that or not. God will show you the pastor, whoever you think your pastor is. And then you need to stick with that man. And that's the Bible. And I believe in tithing. I tithe myself. And I tithe back into the ministry. And that's the way I believe to do it. Praise God. And it's scriptural. I believe it's scriptural. Some people don't believe in tithing. That's fine. That's up to that individual, but I believe in it because it's in the Bible. And that's why I do it. Bring your tithes into the storehouse and prove me. Tithe and offering. And that's the difference. The tithes for the minister and the offerings for the work to pay for this building. And whatever's left over then helps when we have a brother coming, like a brother Andrew. We can give him a gift. If we don't have enough, we can pay for wherever he's staying. And I know Brother Gary and Ruth's been really good. And they put up a lot of visitors coming. We really appreciate that very much. And may the Lord continue to bless them and prosper them for that. Praise God. This morning I want to speak about the purpose of spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. I want to turn to John 14, verse 26. And just to let you know, it's a bit funny. That's what I'm going to tell you. As I was telling Brother Mark, I'd asked about this hall that was empty. I knew for there was a hall that was sitting empty a long time. So eventually, after a bit to do, me and our Matthew got in hold. It's the brethren that own it. We got a hold of the fella that we needed to hear talk till. And I know him well. He's a preacher, by the way. And he got on the phone, and the first thing he says, "No, you can't have it." Now, that's how he said it. "No, you can't get it." And who is getting it? Nobody. Nobody's getting it, and I can't have it either. And he says, "Now, Brother Tom, it's not down to me, it's Norman, and he won't even give us it." And that's the own assembly that they're part of. So that's how things is working. So, you know, I tell you, brethren, we're renting a hall here, and this hall's empty. Christian hall's empty this morning. And, you know, it's listening to a sermon. 1955, I'm going through every message in 1955. And then there, William Branham is warning them. God wants them to be united. And he's showing them how the devil's splitting them up. And he says the devil wants all believers split. God wants them united. There's not going to be no splits in heaven. Now, somebody mightn't come here, but that doesn't mean they're not our brother or sister. They're washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're our brothers and sisters, no matter what we think. We might not agree in all doctrine, but sure, they mightn't agree with your doctrine. Do you ever think of it like that? That's the truth of it. But isn't it a real shame that so many wee places is closing instead of opening? And I think it was our sister Eileen said to me this morning, there's a big well-known denominational church, and there's about 300 of them empty, and they're closing in this country. Closing down. After COVID had its way, churches are closing after COVID. COVID's done well, hasn't it? Now, you know who signed it?
Yes.
Man-made, to start with. The same as AIDS. AIDS was man-made. I know some scientists what thought none of us had a brain tried to tell us that a monkey boarded a plane from Africa, flew around the world and gave people AIDS. Now, if you believe that, fair play to you, but I don't. That's the exact same as the Big Bang.
Yes.
There was a Big Bang.
Yes.
And out of nothing, things evolved from nothing. I'd rather believe God said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our brother's laughing. God bless you, brother. Praise God. You know, I was thinking this morning as we were singing, Brother Ian, we sing that song we were singing, The Weary Days, Rock never ever would sing that. You know that. You'd hear him. He wouldn't sing that. Glorious Days or something he'd sing. So that's what I sing. I won't sing it either, Weary Days. I'm not interested in Weary Days. Glorious Days. We want to serve the Lord with joy while we're here. Amen. I better read a scripture this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading a lot from John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16. Some scriptures, and we'll just have not many notes as such. I just want to go and see what the Lord laid me in these scriptures, what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Praise God, you know. Verse 26 of John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Then if you go to chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then if you go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, and I want to read verse 8. Then 13, 14. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Howbeit when he, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each one, every hand raised. I know the Lord sees every single hand this morning. You believe the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you. Lord, we know we're but dust of the ground, a handful of dust and water, what we're made from. And only because of your Spirit we have life this morning. You breathed into man at the beginning the breath of life. Lord, everything we have and everything we hope to be is all because of you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In the very outside of this service, we welcome the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Forgive us, Lord, what our eyes and ears and lips have spoken or seen or heard that's not pleasing to you. Cleanse us, sanctify us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I'm asking you for the hands raised. You know every single need. I pray you'll meet every need for the job. Prosper that dear sister. Promote her. Higher wages to better position. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let the Holy Ghost move upon men and women for the date. For the date, for the surgeon, for all to go well, let it happen, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, for the financial increase, let it come forth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. For health to the body and strength to the bones. In the mighty name of Jesus, you were wounded for our transgressions. By your wounds, your stripes, we were healed. Lord, I ask you for dear sister Lynn Edwards, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, you'll touch her and you'll deliver and heal her. In Jesus' precious name, bless Brother Edward as well. Just help them, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' precious name. Pray for Sister Lorne and Brother Matthew and all the family at this time of bereavement for your strength, for your comfort. And may the Holy Spirit be very near. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, you know our position with this hall, with everything. Lord, we need you to guide us, but you've promised you will. We acknowledge you now in all our ways, and we know you will direct our paths. Lord, your word says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. We're only righteous because of your imputation of your righteousness. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless each one this morning. Praise God. I just want to read a few scriptures as we go through and some thoughts I want to share with you this morning. I won't hold you as long. But I really believe we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that God has sent a super sign. A super sign. And just like they missed Jesus when he came, we know that. We saw the woman at the well, that Jesus went away, that the Pharisees wouldn't go, or the Jews wouldn't go. He took a road that nobody else would take to get to that woman. The religious world didn't recognize him. They said, "We know Moses, who are you?" And Jesus said, "If you had known Moses and really believed what he preached, you'd have known me, because he spoke of me." So though they said they had the prophet and the word of the prophet, when the real prophet came, the prophet, Jesus Christ, they failed to recognize him. And God in the 20th century sent a supernatural sign at the end time. We cannot deny that. We're not even going to try till it's happened. We believe it. And the church world never saw it. They know nothing about it, but I believe it. I believe in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come." Revelation 10, 7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished, declared, made known." God has a messenger for every single church age. And just as Paul the apostle was a messenger of the first church age, and he was supernaturally vindicated with gifts of the power of the Holy Ghost, so God sent a message to this last church age. That's the Bible. Seven stars in the hand of Jesus. Seven church ages. But to know the truth, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And people lay so much emphasis on tongues, and I believe in tongues. You know that. But yet you could have witchcraft that speak in tongues. So you can't put it all on tongues, though we believe in tongues. But it is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it is the truth. When you can receive the truth, you've got something. The truth. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. So when the Holy Spirit is on someone, they will preach the truth. They will bring you to truth. They will not bring you into error. They will bring you from error. They will bring you into truth. There is a spirit of error, and there is a spirit of truth. There is a spirit of delusion and the spirit of truth. There's a spirit of godliness and the spirit of ungodliness. And there's only two sources in the world, the Holy Spirit and the devil spirit. And neither one's guiding us or the other. And we know there's a battle raging all the time. And God's angels around this very building, we know, each one is a guardian angel. I've been preaching about that. Then the Bible says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. There's angels near this morning, whether you know it or not. And then besides that, the Holy Spirit's here. And we so often pray, "Come Holy Spirit," and that's good. But then if you really believe, the Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end. So even when we don't feel like it, and it doesn't look like it, he's still near. We cannot go on emotion and feelings. And there's so many things in the Bible what you could look at where people were deceived because of feeling and emotion. But we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not tell us opposite to the Bible. The Holy Spirit will not tell us you can be saved by believing anyway. It won't tell us that. The Holy Spirit will tell us you're saved by believing the one way on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit won't tell us you can be baptized just any way you want, but the Holy Spirit will lead you to Acts 2:38. "Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift's not tongues, that gift is eternal life. Like I told you many times, and I got it from Joseph Smith, an old Pentecostal preacher. When I went in for these shoes, I didn't say, give me tongues. I didn't want tongues. I wanted the shoes. But the tongues is in them. The tongues is in the shoes. And when you get the real Holy Spirit, everything's with the Holy Spirit. There's 9 gifts for the Holy Spirit. There's 9 fruits of Spirit with the Holy Spirit. And we need the fruits of Spirit, let alone the gifts of Spirit. We need more love, more joy. That we love one another. We don't need backbiting. We need praying. Amen. And we need the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. William Branham made a tremendous statement. William Branham said this. He says, God never takes away. Speaking of gifts, he adds to. He never takes away, he adds to. God does not decrease, it's always an increase. And when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to bless you, they're given to profit you withal. They're not given to condemn you. If someone condemns you, I would doubt it's of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it would be. The Holy Spirit is to edify you. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit is to point you to Jesus and to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not so we'll glorify an earthly man, but that we will glorify the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will not make you live filthier. It'll make you live cleaner. The Holy Spirit will not have you not to read the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit will bring you to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not take you away from the end time truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the end time truth. Now we know there's many things around what's called the end time message, churches in general, what could be wrong, but the message God sent is true. The message is true. The voice that came is true. There's a lot of stuff around it what might be wrong, but there's a lot of stuff around everything's wrong. Never let a scarecrow stop you when there's wheat in the field. Amen. Never let a scarecrow stop you. The Holy Spirit is to profit you withal. To profit you. Now you cannot be profited without an increase. If you were profited by doing your work, you got more. You're profited. And the Holy Spirit wants to profit you in the touching of your body and the manifestation of revelation from the Word of God. He wants to profit you withal. He wants to take you higher. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. I tell you, the Holy Spirit can bring you a word of comfort. A word of comfort. Now let me just say some things about that in a moment, the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ taught us that after his ascension, the Holy Spirit would come to dwell within the hearts of believers. Is that the Bible? God in the Old Testament was above them. In the sense, he was always above them. And there he was in the Old Testament above them. And he sent prophets to speak for them. He came down in times and Shekinah glory and whirlwinds veiled. But then in the New Testament, Jesus Christ was with us. God was with us in the person of Christ. God was with us. Now we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. How many believes that? If which is also a dispensation of grace. He's no longer above us or just there with us, but he's in us. This is the dispensation for the Holy Spirit. It's in us. He is with us, but he's also in us. So he was above us. He was with us. He's in us. And the Holy Spirit is in you to bless you. When you feel like quitting, something in you lifts you. Something in you keeps you keeping on. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now I believe in tongues, but many Pentecostals put too much emphasis in tongues, and they got everybody to talk in tongues, but that did not mean for me they had the Holy Spirit. I know in the book of Acts people spoke in tongues. I believe in tongues. But if you copy me the day of praying in tongues, that doesn't mean you've got it. You have to have your own experience of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit could give you one of the other gifts, which might not be tongues. But you will receive the truth. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will receive. There's your evidence that you will receive the truth. And the truth will make you free. That's the Holy Spirit. He frees you from bondage. That might be denominational bondage. Now, that could be any type of denomination, and we'll just put them all under it. I don't need to say any names, but you know what I'm... It's a whole lot. And there's truth in all of them, in part. And there's good people everywhere. How many knows that as well? God's eagles everywhere. But you need that. We want the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, I want to make it clear this morning, before the day of Pentecost was come, you had to tarry for the Holy Spirit. But after the day of Pentecost was come, you can receive the Holy Spirit without tarrying. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say it again. Before the day of Pentecost was come, he told them, tarry ye until the Holy Spirit comes. But when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and was already poured out, you can now receive it without tarrying. Just like you're saved by faith believing, you can receive the Holy Ghost with the same faith.
Hallelujah.
And he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. So you get saved, now you're obeying the Lord. Then you go to the waters of baptism because you're obeying the word of God. You're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38 says you are. You receive the Holy Spirit. God will not deny his word. But Brother Tom, would it be for us? Read Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to them that's afar off, that's me and you, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You cannot come if God don't call you. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him, and no man can know him save to him whom the Son will reveal him. It is God that draws man, and Jesus saves him. The preacher that God uses, that's still the Holy Spirit, and you cannot glorify the man. There's men God uses for that. Now, there's different workers in the faith. Everyone certainly won't be a Billy Graham. Everyone won't be a William Branham. They were totally different, but they reached different people. But they did their work. And they both spoke highly one of the other. And one man could be going around and winning souls, and another man mightn't be able to do that. He mightn't see many people saved like that fella, but he's still doing what God called him to do. You still need him. And it's just you coming sitting and saying, I'm nothing. The devil wants you to condemn yourself. The devil wants you to say you're nothing. The devil wants you to down yourself. But God says, I have good thoughts for you. God says you're every bit as important as what you think the big fella. Because there's no big fellas in God's house. Everybody's an equal. And it's just like the wall, the stone wall. The wee stone is needed to fit in to hold that big stone. And you take the wee stone out, the big stone's cobbling about. And I tell you many times, we need the wee stone. And we need the big stone. We need all the stones. There's long stones, short stones, tall stones, small stones. But they're all on that wall. I had the privilege for some months to work with a stonemason. I really enjoyed it. And then he wanted me to go with him. He built the stones on that new place over in Scarver. You know, that new hotel. Do you know the name of it, sister? Sinton's restaurant. Look, go and look at the stonework on it. There's something about stonework, isn't there, on a building? It really sets it off, doesn't it? It's not like, you know, building block. Let's be honest about it. Anybody can build block. No, but serious, I can build you block. I'm not even a bricklayer. It's not hard to build block. Most young fellas, when they go with a couple of good bricklayers, they won't learn them because they don't want them getting the money they're getting. And they want somebody to run after them. That's the truth of it. But block's not hard to build. You just keep to the plummet line. And if you can work at the corners are straight, you have it beat. But stonework's different. Stonework, you have to pick out a stone and fit it in, and then you have to pick another stone, and it takes a trained eye to fit a stone in to the next bit, and then another one to that, and keep on going. It takes a trained eye, skilled man to do stonework. That's a fact. And I had the privilege of working with a wee man, and he could, them iron towers are hard to build, and he built lots of them. And I tell you what, he made some money. It's well paid. But you think that round tower is so difficult to build, and God says, I am building a church, amen, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. They're going to be against it. And you're part of that building. And you know, a prophet of God says, when he was talking to men, that says, we're no more in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We're no more in the apostolic dispensation. That's what many denominations preach today. But he answered and he said, when do you take the scaffolding off the building? You don't take down the scaffolding till the last bit on the top of that roof's finished, which is the ridge tile. And that building not finished, you get the ridge tile on, because if you don't put the ridge tile on the top of the roof, the water will come in. But the ridge tile turns it. And I believe we're still working on the building spiritually. And we still need the apostolic gifts of the Holy Ghost today. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I signed a promise to my father, John 7, verse 37, 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speak he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus was glorified. There could be no Pentecost until there was a Calvary. And after there was a Calvary, there was a Pentecostal outpouring. And just as Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, Paul also said, for it come not thee with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And God demonstrated and proved his ministry of the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders and divers miracles. John 14, 16, 18, and I pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now we've had so much emphasis about people receiving the Holy Spirit and they're not born again, but the words of Jesus says here, whom the world cannot receive. Now something can come on them, because the weeds rejoiced in the wheat. But when you really receive the Holy Spirit, you're born again. You are born again when you get the Holy Spirit. So if somebody had the real Holy Spirit, they would be born again. But the world doesn't get born again unless God moves on someone. You know what I'm saying? He brings us out of the world and we're born again. Because it saith in that neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So it's not just above you, not just with you, but in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And so many times we're praying prayers, and I'm not knocking that. I believe in that. But we're praying as if he's 1,000 miles away. Will you come? He's in you the whole time. The Holy Spirit's in you. Is that the Bible or is it not? That's absolutely the Word of God. The Bible says where two or three is gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. He's there. You know what's wrong? We're so much moved by emotion. I didn't feel it was a good meeting. I felt it was hard to preach. It might have been, but it could have been the best meeting of them all. I can tell you through experience preaching for over 30 years now, I preached at times in different places and felt terrible myself. And went home and felt a real failure and sat down in the corner and didn't want to know anything about it for 30 hours. And then found out later somebody got healed or saved. But the devil's telling me the whole time that was terrible. And if we have somebody comes in this pulpit and they say, "Oh, brothers, that was hard." And then you hear that, then you say to yourself, "Boy, this is a hard place to preach in." Do you ever get that? You know what I talk about? Raw preaching. Preaching on the street. Now, if you can preach on the street, you can preach anywhere at all. Now, there is atmospheres. If you go down into the south of Ireland and you get on them streets to preach, you're going to know about it. I'll guarantee you that. It is harder. Because it's a different spirit on each nation. But if you're going to go into a certain place and say, "Boys, it's going to be hard here this morning," you might as well go home. Nothing's hard for the Lord. Amen? Oh, when the Spirit's about that, well, it's the time you had them bound. Good, get on with it. When we go into the natural work and, you know, if a brother here goes to cut a hedge in a garden, I'll guarantee you, a brother Gary's, I helped a fellow one for a few winters. And we went, or summers as well, and you know them orchards. We pruned the orchards. We went into some orchards, well, it's near Cranford, got into it. Hadn't been pruned in years. Torture. Chainsaws were out. I mean, we had to come on them. And mind he, that wee fella, he cut this tree, and the woman come out, she was near crying. He cut lumps out of it, as they say. He hardly left her tree. She near chased the two of us. See the next year. She never had a tree like it. That's the first thing it needed. It needed clipping back. And I tell you, anything that's round a meeting, we need to believe God to move it. That's what we need to mean. It's us and the Holy Spirit coming that makes a meeting. Now I'm saying us because the Holy Spirit makes a meeting. I know that, but he needs you. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs your hands, your feet, your voice, your ears. The Lord is using men and women. Because that's what he does. John 16 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, and he did. Acts 1 verse 4 and 5, "And being assembled together," this is the book of Acts, "with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence." And the thing that made the difference to the disciples was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter needed changed. Peter would never have did the things he did if he was left the way he was. How many agree with me this morning? Amen. Peter would still have been cursing. Yes. Still fiddling about, mucking about, and fishing and stuff when he shouldn't have been. Should have been at the Lord's work. But the Holy Ghost made the difference on him.
Hallelujah.
That's the thing that made the difference on him.
Yes.
And if you think education won't do it, the Holy Spirit will do it. And we need the Holy Ghost to make the difference. And in these meetings, we need the Holy Spirit to make the difference. And to reach our loved ones, we need the Holy Spirit to make the difference. But we're not going to reach them if we're complaining about the old meetings we're coming to. How do we expect to reach somebody if you're condemning your own meeting? Boys, I tell you, it's dead down that place. What are you going for then? When you're part of it, you're part of it. If it's dead, you're the part of it. Is that the truth? I tell you, someone, we need to be positive. When you go somewhere else, you might think it's lively. It mightn't be as lively as you think. Because we're living in the last days. It's like a brother Gary said to me and a couple of brothers the other week, it's the signs of the times we're in. The love of many shall wax cold. That's the Bible for today. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We don't want to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's lots of doctrines, but some of them are from the devil. We want the right doctrine. The right doctrine glorified Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorified Jesus. We want to come into the meeting positive, prayed up. Read your Bible. Pray before you come. Pray when you get here. I tell you, God will move. And I tell you what happens. You can have a real good meeting, but the devil will do everything he can to take the blessing off you as soon as you go out that door. He wants to rob you. God can give you something here, but you can lose it before you're at the car. The Bible calls him a robber and a stealer. And he wants to rob your blessing and steal your blessing. Let me read you this, John. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit is the helper. Write this down. I'm closing in a moment. He's a helper or comforter. He's a comforter. In the original Greek, this title is parakeltos. That's the Greek word, parakeltos, which literally means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is called alongside to help you. A helper, a consoler, an advocate. So when you're feeling it difficult, you need the Holy Spirit to console you, to help you. Maybe you're somewhere and there's no other brother or sister near you, but he has promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're blood-washed, the Holy Spirit's already been moving on you. You mightn't think that, but you couldn't have got saved if he hadn't moved on you. Now, I believe there's a baptism after being saved. There's three stages. We know that. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the fact that you're a believer, the Holy Spirit already moved on you to pray to get saved. So the Holy Spirit's already moved on you. That's that same Holy Spirit. He can come to you at any time. You can pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. You try. Listen, the Bible says if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. I'm a firm believer. My wife can tell you for years, every morning, whether we're going out together or to work or whatever, I like to pray before I leave to ask him to lead me, to guide me. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me. These roads are dangerous. So dangerous. So many things dangerous. And even as a minister, I can't go with all the voices. I hear so many voices. Such and one this and such and one that. And you should do this, Tom. You should do that. I ignore all that. I'll be quite honest with you. I don't care who says it. Unless it's genuinely from the Holy Spirit by the mouth of two or three witnesses, I wouldn't even hear it. I can't, because I would go on every road up a tree. And somebody will tell you, go and do that, and as soon as you do it, if it doesn't work out, that same person that told you to go and do it, I'll say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you it wouldn't work? But they tell you to do it. That's the devil. That was never the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, it will work. Now, if it doesn't work, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Could have been your enthusiasm or emotion. That's all right. But we want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Isn't that right? You know, I was thinking all this week and thinking, and I fasted a few weeks ago, a few Sundays before coming here, me and the wife, praying about these meetings. And you know, I was thinking all about it, and you know something I'm going to tell you. I done no praying, no fasting, nothing when he came to me in the jail. I never done a thing. God was showing me something. God was showing me, Tommy, you don't need to do nothing. All you need to do is trust me, for I've already done it. Rest in the Lord. Oh, but You need to go here and go there and go. No, 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 no. That's the devil. He'll run you. He'll run you clean off your feet. He'll run you here, there, and everywhere. God don't run his sheep. He leads them. And he doesn't have a stick either. Cattle and sheep's two different things. You don't use the blue alkathene on the sheep. You know, I saw a film of a farmer, and he was standing there with his jacket on, the hat and everything, and all these visitors came and they called the sheep, and the sheep, they didn't even lift their heads up. They kept on grazing. But that old farmer come down on the fence, and he just gave a holler at them, and up their heads came, and they just started coming. I tell you, that's a bit like pigeons. The pigeon's like a dove. When I kept the pigeons, if you went round the back when I had my young birds flying well and they're going well, and I used to talk to them like children, and they're going well. If a stranger come round, they're gone. They're just gone like that. But as soon as I come round and I could call them, they'd come right onto me. They'd come right on me in the garden and follow me right to the shade. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive you out through the door. He leads you. Rest. And here it is. Now I'm closing. Here it is. Here's the scripture. This was given of the Lord. Now when this was given of the Lord in 1989, everything turned around. Everything changed. The fellow that was running, doing things he shouldn't have been doing, God sorted all that out. But he had to get me into a place by myself where he could talk to me first. That was jail. A woman asked me to pray for a young fellow one day and pray he won't get jail. And I says, I will not. There's no way I'll be praying that. I'm going to pray he gets jail. And she looked at me. And she said, Tom, why are you talking like that? I says, because he's not learning any other road. He needs a jail sentence. And if he ever got into jail for a while, I would waken him up. It would give him a taste of reality, because he's spoiled on the outside. He does whatever he wants, but he will not do what he wants in jail. He'd be under a regime. And I tell you, when I got in jail and all my so-called buddies disappeared, brother, none of them come near me. But the Holy Spirit came. He came. And the old devil said, kill yourself and end it all. But he never said that. He didn't talk like that. I love you and give myself for you. That's how he talked. I've called you, chose you. Somebody says, how do you know you're called? See, a man asked me that. There's no point even trying to answer that. That's the devil. That's the devil. I tell you, the Lord loves you this morning. No matter what you're going through in this hall, no matter what you're facing, the Lord loves you. And the Lord wants you to try and do nothing. What do you think? How difficult is that? He says you don't need to do a thing. I'll do it for you. But we need to go and do this or that. If God wants you to do something, he'll make you to do it, and he'll make a way for it. And if God makes you to do it and makes a way for it, then certainly go ahead. But God will make the way for it. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. Be still and know that I am God. Then you know another scripture says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to run ahead of you, but help us to wait and follow your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice, and they'll follow me. Lord, we thank you that you're the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Bless all your sheep in this house this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, your strength, your comfort, that you will come alongside every sister, every brother, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to bless them. Lord, when we have days and times as we will, where we don't know what way to turn, may you grant us that grace that we will be still and know that you're God. Lord, we know that you took full control back of the devil that day at Calvary. You assume full and total responsibility, and you're in control no matter what it looks like. We know we're living in the last days, but you've promised that they that know their God and be strong shall do exploits. Father, bless us. Bless the musicians, the song leader, the deacons, the elders. Pray for any that couldn't be here that's working or on holidays. May you bless them, may you strengthen them. Move in all the children in this room and not here. See them and deliver. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I bless everyone in this room. I bless them through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As a brother Gary comes, God bless each one. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll be back tonight. Praise God.
Amen. Let's sing that hymn, More About Jesus, Would I Know.